Satsang with Maitreya, September 22nd, 2002.
We welcome you all to our feast and mission. We are glad we have all of you here. And of course, this is the feast and this is the time of celebration. And this celebration is actually the celebration of coming of the Christ, of God's Spirit to humanity. And of course, many humans still don't know that really God exists, and they still, you know, fighting over religions instead of the godly way of knowing Him. And the only way to know God is have a direct relationship with Him. Okay, as far as you don't have any experience, direct relationship, you have a religion. You don't have God realization. You know? That's why we recommend everybody to meditate. When you meditate, eventually you will have some experiences with God and He will reveal Himself to you. So, the Feast of Tabernacle is one of the seven feasts that God commanded us to follow. And of course, most of the feasts of the that God revealed was very much related to the cyclical timing of the year, and most of the people were farmers. Okay. So by this time of year, they have harvested all their food, they put it in the barns, and the winter was coming, it was cold, and probably they didn't have much of a food then to eat. And so the Feast of Tabernacle was a feast of using all the grain they had and make a great feast and beautiful food. Just the food that we have here, this guy is making here very, very fantastic foods that, you know, are made in the mission right now in the feast, and I'm sure everybody enjoying them. Are they good? They're good. They're fantastic. They're good. And all those these guys, they go to the internet and they look for the menus all over from different cultures, and of course they add their own way of doing it, and then they put some spiritual name on it. And hopefully one day we're going to have our own cookbook, you know, we can give it to people, and you know, what is the name, some of the food's name? Fantastic Pure Consciousness and
Bhakti
Bhattan. Bhakti Bhattan. So it's, after a while, even the cookbook become, you know, universal. Instead of having just one culture and you know, so this is the expansion of the mind. This vision is the apparently we have been at it for many lifetimes, and now we have come back together again to bring this mission to humanity, and we have been called to see what a fantastic thing God has done. Actually, this mission is to glorify God. You know, that is the mission of glorification of God, because He said He's going to do all these things, and He has done them. Okay. And as we saw two wonderful lectures today, we heard about this morning, John gave the prophecies, and we can see God didn't leave any doubt in any minds, okay, that what He's going to do, and He did it, and He now reveals it. If you can see, you know, God really is behind this mission, you know, there's something wrong, you know. I really believe something wrong with that person that can see that the Spirit of God is behind this mission. So He has fulfilled the prophecy. He said He's going to do these things, and He has done them, you know. And even if you cannot relate to God heart by heart, you can relate to God intellectually. Because when He said He's going to do something, and He does He exist? He exists, for sure. But the difference is, just like you are asking mirror, does mirror exist? The mirror says, no, what is mirror? I should look for mirror. Where is mirror? Is it in the sky? Is it underground? You know, because mirror cannot see himself, you know. But if you put another mirror in front of the mirror and say, hey, look, that's mirror, and it says, oh, yeah, that is mirror, that's me. This is how I was looking for mirror all over the world. I couldn't find it. And now I found another mirror and I looked at the mirror and I said, hey, look at me. That's me. That is what God is. God is me. God is within me. I am one with Him. I've been looking all over the place for something that I am it already. So you know, that is much better than the God that sitting up there is angry all the time and you know create all these religions and dogmas and you know little dogma that you believe you go to heaven, if you don't believe you don't go to heaven and you're infidel, you're gonna chop your head off or you're not saved or you're not the chosen one. That's not true. God is you. God is within all of us. There is no separation there. If we recognize that, is there any separation between man and woman? Male and female? You know, this race and that race? From this side of the earth or the other side of the earth? No, that essence is in every person that we encounter. Therefore, how can we look at each other, anything else, but as a manifestation, as the essence of God? You know, we do that. Do we have any political upheaval or destruction that's coming to us? No, we will see that God indeed is unifying. He is unified, and we have to teach this to humanity. We have to create an environment also that the political system doesn't have any power over them. Give the power back to humanity. And that is the commonness of life. Commonness of life will give the power back to humanity and will empower them, okay, to rule themselves and also become, you know, brothers and sisters and recognize. Actually, it is that most of the people, they get along with each other, no matter where they are from. It's mostly the power trip, those that are in the power trip, they don't get along with one another. You know, if we can create an environment that, you know, everything is come from the commons of light, then we actually have given the power to people and they will create an environment that we will not have this problem that we have on earth. And we can see that our teaching goes from the basic thing, you know, of how you know, live, okay, daily life, to absolute how we can bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Okay? It's just like there is such a range of, you know, revelation there that we can all, you know, meditate on them and become one with what God is telling us and see the benefit. Of course, if we don't follow them, we don't see the benefit. Just like a doctor tells you, you know, you have to use the medicine in such and such a way and the medicine is good and it will help you, but you don't follow the instruction. That though is an instruction manual for a good life, okay, for bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth. Are you going to read the manual? Are you going to follow the manual? If you do, you benefit. If you don't, you don't. You know, it's as simple as that. So, it's not dogmatic, it's not so, okay, you just believe in the name of Maitreya, you're saved. Well, there's a truth on that, but but also, it's beyond that. It's a package. Because you can't just believe in Maitreya and that he is really a representative of God and God's mouthpiece. But what is he saying? As I said, if you get stuck with the bridge, you never go over to other side. Okay. The bridge is here to take you to the other side. If you get stuck with the bridge, you know, of course, you don't destroy the bridge. If you destroy the bridge, you never get there. You know, so you have to keep the bridge in place, but at the same time, go over to God. So we can see that these revelations and this thing that mission is presenting to humanity and these lectures, they're fantastic. There's so much truth. Actually, there was a Baha'i this morning who were asking about why I came so early after Baha'u'llah, you know, and Sadhguru was explaining the exponential growth of happening of God's revelation. It got faster and faster and faster and faster. So now, at the end, it's only needed around 150 years for this to happen. Actually, Baba came, what, 40 years before I did. Okay, and then I know, so actually, the truth is, it's only took 40 years, you know. Abraham was 6,000 years, and then Christ was 2,000 years, Muhammad was 1,400 years, Baba was 150, Baba was 40, and then he's just shortened. So that was his answer, that your formula works. It is exponential in a way of, you know, happening, and that's why it's happened so fast. So we are having great thing here, and I hope you guys all are reading the Do, understanding it, listening to it, listening to satsang, and having a lot of questions, and for me, and if you don't, that's okay. I can just go ahead and say the same thing over and over again, and and actually I feel mostly I have said everything has to be said. But of course, still people come up with the questions that never we have answered before, and answers come out well. And there is nothing really I haven't covered. Is there anything I didn't cover in the last 22 years? So I have covered everything that had to be covered. I can just say how fantastic this mission is. Of course, we're going to do that tomorrow also in our lecture. If you have any question now, I'll open the floor for questions. So we can just go ahead and see how you guys are doing and how the feast going and all that. If you have a question in the pal talk, raise your hand. If you have a question here, also raise your hand. Okay, go ahead, Caleb.
Okay, shalom everybody. I'm going to jump right in here with a question that I just had pop up in my head. I was thinking about a consciousness and how it's crucified down to like rock. And I was wondering what happens when the universe is going to end to, like they say, 15 billion years the universe will end. There'll be many that have reached pure consciousness, but the humans will still have to live on all these planets, which means these planets are still crucified consciousness. So what will happen to that crucified consciousness, because it hadn't even come close to reach pure consciousness, but it's working to guide the consciousness that's ready to reach pure consciousness to the goal. So what happens to all the crucified consciousnesses that won't have made it by the time the physical universe ends?
Those who don't reach pure consciousness, they are going to stay in a very dark place and frozen space for billions of years. And that's what, you know, most prophets are talking about, gashing of the teeth and destruction and darkness and being in hell, means that they didn't make it. They did not, you know, and they stopped going and listening to the scriptures and God. They listen to man, they listen to television, they listen to the radio, they listen to this, they listen to that person. Instead of going to God, they went toward the world. And of course, you know, in that state, they have not reached pure consciousness, and therefore, they will stay in darkness and ignorance and tamaguna. And probably, if their mind still exists, their mind is full of desires, attachments, and wants, and they will be suffering in a great deal for billions and billions of years before the next creation comes. And again, we come together and say, come humanity, we are calling at you, come and let us go back to the Father, go back to God, and come to pure consciousness, and maybe some of them are going to be saved, or some of them will not. Actually, you can probably relate that to what the Tibetan Buddhist called Bardu. If I don't know if you have heard about it or not, it is the state they say at the time of the death, the dead person goes through, and in that time, depends upon how good a person you were or how terrible you were, you have to go to that state, and there are people that are specialized to take you through that Bardu, and because your mind is in a turmoil and this wants a lot of desires and wants and attachments, therefore it's going to be a scary place for the people to go. Those who have purified themselves, they have overcome desires, attachments and wants, and they have reached a point, you know, very close to consciousness, the Vardu is not such a scary place. They are already in pure consciousness. They just die. They just go to Father and just that's it. That's the end of the story. They become one with the Father and their death is not as terribly, you know, taxing on them. So you can see that if you reach at the end of the universe and the universe is finished and you're not in pure consciousness, your mind is still there. Your individual mind has not, you know, overcome and you have still your ego left and there is no computer, there is no satsang, there is no Feast of Tabernacle, there is no revelation, there is no Bible or Quran or other books that can guide you to go to God. And therefore you will be left alone in that state for a long, long period of time, and that is what the concern of prophets are. They come here to take you to God, and they are concerned for you to follow the instruction of God and go to them. Otherwise, when the time comes, everything finishes, you will be left alone. Actually, according to our teaching, that state will come around 1,000 years from now, because this is the beginning of the creation of kingdom of heaven on earth. The kingdom will come for 1,000 years, and after 1,000 years, there are going to be a people again for a short period of time, and many will reach pure consciousness. Of course, you can say God's 1,000 years might not exactly mean 1,000 years of human. It might mean every day of God is 1,000 years, or it might every year of God is 1,000 years. But whatever, there is going to be an end time. There is going to be a time that it is going to finish. If you didn't make it by then, of course, you are going to be in trouble. And what happened to the stones and planets? Probably they're going to dissolve to a state different than what they are at now. They probably become more back to the essence that they were before, but not pure consciousness, because they are still have not reached, you know, complete awareness and detachment. So, but those who have mind, those who have human mind, and they have not reached it, their mind is going to continue to live and probably think and desire, and we're going to be in what is called hell. You know, but probably it is so indescribable that they have to create a word for it and attach so much suffering into that word that they scare you to death. So you better get on with the work of God. But that is the truth in that explanation as hell. You know, of course, we don't believe in a hell with that guy with the two horns on his head and the red clothes and the fixed for it. And you know, it's going to be there. It is your own mind, it's your creation. Probably even devil is the creation of mind, of a tormented mind created such a being as, you know, we look at him as the devil. And of course, devil is nothing but our own ego and our attachment and desires for the external world and not knowing ourselves. And the fastest way to know thyself is meditation. Close your eyes and quiet your senses and go within yourself and look at yourself squarely in every problem you have. Again, this is your doing. You have to do it. You have to meditate. You have to squarely look at it. You know, your spiritual teacher can point to you what, how you can improve yourself. But if you don't listen to him, even he cannot help you. You know, if you don't listen to God, even God cannot help you. God just, that's why he sent the scripture. What does he have to send the scripture? He had to send the scripture as a manual. He's telling you, if you do those things, if you purify yourself, if you, you know, those things that I told you, you will purify and you will know yourself in a deeper level. But if you do not look at that, if you do not listen to the spiritual teacher also, or God, and said, God said, okay, I can help you, you know. I can show you the way, but you have to walk it. Okay. It's not a divine path, it's a path. You have to walk it. It's not something, oh, I'm a mission of my Maitreya, I'm saved. No, you have to walk the eternal divine path. You have to meditate. If you don't meditate, if you don't use the mantra, if you don't you know, close your eyes. If you don't come to the satsang, if you don't come to the, you know, our church in the Palkak or come to the mission and learn how to meditate, not come to the meditation classes and go through the process of the meditation. It's very good for everybody to know that process before they ask for initiation. Because, you know, before here, a lot of people asked for initiation and they didn't remember what the process was. That's why I released it, so you can teach it to people over and over again, and eventually many people will know the process, so it's easier for them to be initiated here. And so it is a teaching of action, okay? And so we can see that God has already given the manual to you, to everybody. The manual is Eternal Divine Path, okay? Eternal Divine Path is the base and the essence of reaching God as fast as possible. If you do not meditate, if you don't close your eyes, if you do not, you know, put the effort to know that yourself, you never know yourself. You can do the same mistakes over and over and over again without being able to look at yourself. But if you made a mistake again and again, and then you look and then you sit and you meditate and say, why am I doing this? Why this pattern that has happened to me over and over? But you have to do it. Okay? If you don't do it, you know you're not. But you do it, you see the pattern, you progress. Then you say, okay, it's very hard to meditate in this environment out there. This is crazy. I can meditate, you know. You know, it's just, everybody say, buy this, go here. You need this. You have to do that. You have television, radio, bulletin board. Everybody tells you everything but God, you know, to do. Okay? So you're going to do it and fall for him. And you're not going to go to God. You're going to go to the... You say, I have to live in an environment that people are godly. They talk about God. They talk about, you know, eternal divine path. Then you say, okay, I need to live in the communist of life. I need to either live in the communist of life or create the communist of life. If I have the ability, I have the power, I have the knowledge, I have the, you know, essence in it that I can do it, sure. Go ahead and create the communist of life. But it's not an easy job to create the communist of life. I'm going to tell you right up front. It is a hard work, okay? It takes a long process. You have to become a lot of wisdom. You have to create a lot of wisdom. You have to know yourself, you know people, you know. It is a lot of work. Actually, a lot of people have tried to create communities, not even communities of life, you know. And there is a news group in internet, and there's a lot of frustrated people in it that they have tried to create community that they're frustrated. They just didn't make it. They weren't able to do it. Okay, and the reason is, of course, why are they frustrated? Because they are not surrendered and submit to God. You know, they think they are the doer. They want the results. You know? Fortunately, in this mission, we don't. We don't get frustrated very often. And anytime we get frustrated and say, do you remember, okay, God is not really me, or this is God is mine, this is yours, so let's not too frustrated. Let's continue with what we're doing. Eventually, it will catch on. Eventually, you know, people, and also we realize the people who love the mission or a part of it, they see it, they love it, they just see the vision right away. Okay? And those who are not, they will hesitate. The moment you hesitate, you know, it has been proven, you know, me and Saraji, you know, we have been at it for the last 5 years? Okay? The people come, they love them, but the moment they hesitate, it falls apart. You know, they cannot make it anymore. So, you have equal spiritual forces. Then you desire to be in the common supply because you know that is the fastest way to go to God. You know, you cannot be out there by yourself and follow all the pulls and punches that world give you, and at the same time, oh, I'm an eternal divine path. Okay, I meditate 15 minutes a week. You know, I'm doing just great. I'm doing fine. No, you are not going to make it. You know, but if you meditate twice a day, regularly, half an hour every time, and you do reminder, and you do chanting and dancing and in an environment, little by little by little, you see, wow, what is happening to me? I am much calmer. I'm much centered. I'm much open. I don't need all those junks out there that they're offering me. I don't want them. Okay? I want to be in this state of quietness and purity and beauty that surpasses anything this world offers me. Okay? So we can see that, you know, it is, you know, it's something that you have to decide to do again. It's not something you just, you know, accept it and you become it. And then of course you in the comments of the community you join, you have to sanctify it. You have to be a part of it. Okay? You can't say, okay, I'm a community but everybody, you know, just listen to me or do everything for me and you know, everybody, you know, listen to me to see what is my needs are. Now, everybody needs to be, you know, considered and sacrifice should be a part of it, of course. And then of course you shouldn't be attached to this other of it, just as I said. A lot of people try to carry the comments of life, but they got frustrated. Because it is not an easy job. I'm just telling you forefront, it is not an easy job to create the communities of life. But of course, if we reach a point that we have a lot of people in the mission and they have been the communities of life and they spread out and they create their own community and connect to the center, little by little our number is going to be increasing to a point that is going to get easier and easier to do. Okay? It's just like a sheet of plastic underwater. And you want to try to raise it instead of putting bubble underneath this plastic little by little by little by little. There's a point, if you put one more bubble, it raises. That's how the mission is. It is big, it's huge. This mission is huge mission. It has so many things in it. But if you put one person at a time underneath it, little by little by little, you get the point, you put one more and that's it. It's going to raise up, okay? And the mission is going to start going. Okay? So, that is how you don't get frustrated. But surrendering submission to God. You know, you surrender the result. Say, okay, I did my best. I did my work as much as I could. I put my effort 100%. But don't put 99%. Don't put 95%. Don't put 90%. Put 100% in it, okay? That is how you will benefit 100%. If you would put 90%, you benefit 90. If you put 80%, you would benefit 80. If you put 5%, you benefit 5. You know, as that is the law of the universe. Okay, for there's a reaction for any action you do. Okay? If you put 100%, God will give you 100%. That is the way God works. So you put 100%, but if it didn't work, fine. You say, God, I could get 100%, 110% actually. I put that effort, that result is yours, I'm not attached to it. It is your result and go on to another project. So if this way didn't work, use another way. You know? Just experiment, you see what works, what doesn't, you know. That's why God sent us so much education for us in this time. They have been educated to research, to understand, to see things what works, what doesn't work. It's not the end of 100 years ago that everything is a spirit that's going to work. If it didn't work in the spirit, it was a spirit. No, we have the ability to experiment and know and know what works, what doesn't work, and progress. And of course, you know, after all this, you have to become a universalist. You have to shatter all the neurons of the mind. Okay, any prejudicity, any separation, anything you feel. I'm not saying that the people in the other world are all nice and good and fantastic and you should love them with all your heart and mind and spirit. But they're a problem too. Okay, they're not realized people either. Okay? But at the same time, you are a realized person. You have to create a system, a way to educate them too. You know? That they realize, you know, they should not kill each other. But when you kill someone, that other person has an essence of God in them, and you really kill that essence in them. So you will create, you know, karma, you know, and you will pay for it. Okay, this is the law. This is the law that every human has to understand, that you cannot just go ahead and do things to each other or others and then say, oh, okay, you are being fun, you know, nothing going to happen to us. It is going to happen to you. It will, you will pay for it. For any action you do to others. Maybe not in this lifetime, but you will. Okay? So after we understand this thing, then we have no choice to become good people. I'm not going to hurt anybody. Because if I hurt another person. What am I doing? I'm hurting myself. Okay? So I'm not going to be a hurtful person. I will consider all the time my actions, how it affects other people, how I affect my environment, how I affect the community. Okay? Am I really hurting the community or am I helping the community? Am I hurting community? Is it going to be really hurting them or am I hurting myself? Okay, so we can see more and more. If we become universalists, then we shatter all the normals of the mind and we know that God is everything. There's nothing which is not God. And if we love God, we have to love everything in it. Because there is nothing which is not Him or her or it, whatever you want to call it. Okay. So we can see with that, you become an elect. You have no choice to be an elect. Okay. And you have accelerated your progress toward your consciousness, and I guarantee you won't be in that darkness at the end of the universe. You're going to be in a wonderful place with God, and you will be in pure consciousness, where you will be enjoying the joy of being one with Him. Okay. So, if you are there, of course you are very sorry for the people that didn't make it, but God send them messengers, one after another. He sent them revelation. He sent them the scriptures. He told them, this is the way to me. This is the way to avoid the hell or whatever that state is. I even don't want to know. Because you know, I'm planning to go to pure consciousness. I'm planning to be in that place with God. I don't want to be in that darkness. But there is that darkness. There is that place. That those who do not listen to God and His revelation and His scriptures, they will end up there. There is no doubt about that. So, eternal divine path is given to you as a path, a way to do it. And of course, after you become a universalist, you become an elect. You become a person who shatters all narrowness of mind and frees himself from attachments and revealing to work for the coming of light and create coming of light or live in the coming of light and will meditate and know thyself. And what I don't see any other faster way to God but the eternal divine path and creation of the kingdom of heaven on earth, which bring the peace and unity to humanity, even accelerating a greater degree, you know, the progress of human to pure consciousness. Go ahead, Colette.
I want to know if will there be a time when all unit consciousnesses reach pure consciousness? That means all the crudified consciousness, every single thing, like all the rocks and the wind and the water and all that stuff. And if when all that does reach pure consciousness, if it does, then what is the result?
Yeah, that is the hope of the universe. That is why God putting so much effort in sending their revelations and prophets and creating creation, you know, that eventually everything will return to their state of pure consciousness and balance, and they will have the experience of not doing this again. And even if it happened, it wouldn't get as long as it takes, you know, this time. And the goal is every time that creation is created, you know, more people will reach pure consciousness and will go to God. And of course this process is going to continue, but it's going to take a long time. Okay, it's an astronomical number of how many universe has to be created again and again. And see, that original energy that creates this universe will exhaust one day. You know, even if that original energy always was fantastic energy was released, which they call it Big Bang, and they're saying that still the effect of it expanding the universe eventually will stop one day, you know. And when the universe stops, you know, that energy is finished. Now it's time to everything. That is what the end is. That's what really, but then until the next creation comes, and again, of course, when the central of the universe have enough energy accumulated, again the Big Bang will happen, and again the taking over the left behind universe comes, and this continues over and over again until, of course, every pure consciousness, and also every time somebody reaches pure consciousness, one more worker would be there, one more person added to the number that they become worker with to help the universe. So there is an accelerating kind of a process is happening there. The more people reach pure consciousness, the more they will help the ones that have enough pure consciousness to reach pure consciousness. So the number increases and reaches a point that if half of the universe become pure consciousness, another half isn't. Each unit consciousness has a teacher to take him to pure consciousness. Okay? So there is much more acceleration happens in the process, and hopefully one day we will have everybody back to Godhead, and we will all be one as a spirit, not separated at all, ego, and we will be in the joy of God and Ananda, that every mystic desires to have that experience with God. So yes, eventually will, but not in this creation, because this creation, the number of people in pure consciousness, compared with the people that are not in pure consciousness, are very low. The number of pure consciousness are very low in compared with the people or part that they are not in pure consciousness. Therefore, we need much more teachers and those who have reached pure consciousness to be able to accelerate the process to the end. But at the end, but there is still that element of choice is always there. Okay? You have to choose not to go to God. Even if we have 99% of the universe is in pure consciousness and 10% is not, and that 10% refuses to follow the one path or go to God, still that 10% is not going to make it. They have to wait for another creation. If they refuse again, they will do another creation, they refuse again. But of course, the possibility that happens probably is very slim, and eventually we will reach pure consciousness. Wait, Caleb.
Okay, say that everybody or every single unit of consciousness reached pure consciousness. Does that mean that the three creative forces and that's all there is the three creative forces and consciousness, which is what there was in the very beginning? And is that the goal, to get back to the way it was before that desire arose in the consciousness?
Yeah, the goal is to go back to that balanced state of being. A lot of people have tried to explain what that state is. Eventually, the best answer is the state of unexplainable. It's not possible to explain God, and many people, actually they say if the whole universe become paper and all the liquid in the universe become ink, and all the trees and whatever you can pen with become pens, and you write all about God and finish all these papers that the whole universe is created, you haven't not even begun to explain what God is, what the state of Godhood could be. And that is why we have so many explanations. And so many people, they think they know God, and they come and say, yes, I know God, I can tell you who God is, and they explain God, and we still see a lot of people still are not satisfied with their explanation, because God is not explainable. It is something you experience. You do not explain God, you experience God. If you experience it, you say, yeah, I know God, I know infinity, it's possible. As was, this morning, one of the lecturers was saying, intellectually you can think, Where does this universe finish? It has to finish somewhere. Okay, when it's finished, whatever it finished with is something that has to finish somewhere else. You see, if you went all the way to the end of the universe and there was a wall, okay, now that wall itself has to end somewhere, doesn't it? And when that wall ends, what is behind that wall? And what is that end? It just gets keep going. Your brain just stops and says, it says, I can't think anymore, any farther. Doesn't it? Mind cannot explain infinity because mind has limitation. Although mind is the fastest element in the universe, you want to be at the end of the universe, you are at the end of the universe. Mind is faster than light. Light is 300,000 miles a second. Mind is, it takes, you know, at least a couple of seconds to go to the moon with the speed of light. Okay? With the mind, you are in the moon, you are in the moon. That's it. You know, the moment you think in it, you are there. So you can see that, you know, the mind is fast. Still, it's impossible for mind to fathom infinity. Okay? But the moment you experience God and the moment you experience infinity, you say, oh yeah, it's possible. I understand now, yes, the infinity exists. Now somebody come and ask you, what's infinity? You can explain it to them. You can tell them what infinity is, but you know it is there. So God is an experience, it's not an explanation. And then you experience it. The only way to experience it is through the eternal divine path, meditation, creation of the comings of light, being able to give it from yourself to the comings of light, turn and submit to God and become universalist, and hopefully one day you are sitting in your meditation and you experience in God and you just jump of joy and grab everybody and say, can't you see God? And they say, no, we can't. And then you say, oh God, how can that you see it? It is so simple. Okay. So if you reach that point, then you have experienced it. Go ahead, Ram Dass.
Shalom. Well, I was going to ask you the question about how come when you reach pure consciousness that you're not able to explain the unexplainable, or is it just for you, regular human beings, that it is not explainable? But you almost already answered the question without and telling us that you know that you're there. This is why you cannot explain it. Is that? Am I right?
Yes, Ramdas. Well, your English has improved for sure. You speak very well. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how it is, you know, because, okay, if you have experienced God and I have experienced God, we know each other. Okay? We are, look at each other and say, yeah. Okay. Hi, how are you? Hi, God. And they say, hi, God. And you just know that the other person have experienced it. And, you know, that's good enough for you, you know. And you don't have to explain to that person what is the pure consciousness is, what is the infinity is, you know. That person knows, you know, and you are, you know, absolutely, you know, understand. You even don't question, you know, ask the question of what is infinity, you know, because, as I said, it cannot be explained. How can you explain infinity? Where this universe finishes, where that finishing of this universe finishes, what is that finishes, and what, actually that's what exactly what I was doing when I was a kid. When I was 6, 7 years old, I was thinking, where does the universe finish? And then I was thinking, okay, whenever it's finished, there has to be something that it finishes with. What is that finishes? You know, I eventually gave up, and then I said, oh, I can just fathom the infinity where eventually this, and that's exactly what intellect is. Intellect tries to explain and have a lot of questions, okay? And ask questions that only can be experienced. And that is what all the great teachers, prophets, everybody has directed you to know yourself, to know God. It's within you. You know it. Okay? You just have forgotten it. Okay? You once knew, but now you don't. Because you're in amnesia. Okay? You have forgotten what you were and where you came from. Okay? But if you do that, you eventually realize that, yes, that is infinity. Yes, that makes sense. Yes, it is. But I cannot explain it because you have to put it in, just like a word. The word, when it's revealed to you, you say, yeah, it's there. You know, I already know it's within me. I heard it, I know it is. Yes, I can hear it. But tell somebody, okay, tell me what it is. They can't tell you. Okay? Because the word is something within you. It's not something you can intellectually tell you, oh, this is the sound of here, come from there, and goes here, I can hear it, da-da-da. You have to hear within yourself, then you can say, yes, it exists and it is there. So that's exactly what God is. You cannot explain God. Okay, you can explain dogmas. That's what probably what human love to create dogmas. That was explainable. It appeals to human mind, to human intellect. Okay. They say, oh yeah, dogma I understand. This is explained, therefore I accept this religion because I understand it. But God, you have to be a mystic. Okay, Matrix, sounds like you had a question. If you still have a question, go ahead.
Hello, yes, thank you. Well, it's an honor to listen to you. First of all, state that I am an atheist, but I think one of the most benign religions are our Buddhist teachings, and I think there's a lot of wisdom to that. I'm not sure what your background is, but you sound like a very wise man. The one thing I like about the Buddhism teaching and the type of teaching that you're saying is the concept of consciousness, rising to a consciousness level, because I believe that in our individual lives we have the potential of evolving, and on a societal level we all have the potential of evolving. And so I was wondering if you had any suggestions of ways to raise your consciousness, as you would call it, I guess I would call it evolving, aside from meditation. I went to meditation meetings for about 3 years, and all that usually did for me was I just ended up falling asleep alongside the old Indian men next to me, which is fine because I like their company.
You should lie down. That was
what would you say to an atheist? What is the suggestion to raise your consciousness? Thank you.
Yeah, sure, Matrix. Actually, you're atheist because you haven't found a true religion or truth. And you're probably atheist because somebody gave you a bunch of dogmas and told you to follow, and you say, well, it doesn't make sense to me, I'm not going to follow. That's exactly happened to me. You can call me with the atheist background as well, because the religion they were teaching me wasn't satisfactory. To me, there was a God up there called Allah. And I said, why? You know, if you can show me God, of course I believe Him. And of course, God eventually showed Himself to me, and I believed in Him. And one of the things about our teaching, even atheists can benefit from it very, very well, because if you read our teaching, it says, God said He's going to do these things, and He has done them. And historically, scientifically, and spiritually is proven everything in law that has come through something God said will happen and happen. But God is not a person. God is not somebody sitting on a throne up there and everybody, you know, around Him sitting there with Him. God is consciousness and the three creative forces in the universe. That's what God is, okay? And you can relate to that easily because it's based on science. Actually, you know, a lecture that was being given here about creation history, you would see how creation and history is explained in the mission, and it is logical. Even the creative force, now they have come to realize that the three forces in the universe, the strong force, the electromagnetic, and the weak forces that has created most of the thing in the universe. And of course, without the material to use to create things, you cannot create anything. And therefore, we need consciousness to use as a material with these three forces to create, which of course has the ability to create gravity. And gravity is the accumulation of the consciousness. So, if you read our teaching, you will see really God exists, God which is consciousness, and you, it's within you, it is you, it is not up there somewhere away from you, and you will probably say, yes, I am not atheist anymore, because I can see consciousness is God, okay? And that's what exactly happened to me. You know, eventually it made sense. God is everything, you know? You know, it is consciousness, it's creative force. it is logical, it is, you know, verifiable, it is scientific, you know, therefore my mind accepts it. To have a suggestion for a spiritual progress or going to higher consciousness or whatever you want to call that is the base of our teaching, is base of eternal divine path. It is, it covers five steps that you meditate. You also said you fell asleep when you were meditating. You should not lie down when you meditate because the body is lazy. You know, the flesh is weak, the spirit is, you know, strong, and you fall asleep. When you fall asleep, you really are meditating, but you're not aware of what is happening in your mind. Really, meditation is asleep at the same time being aware of what is happening. Okay? You meditate when you're sitting up. So you're not really falling asleep. You have to be aware of your sleep, of your dreams, of your consciousness of what's happening within you, and you look at them and see how your mind works. The moment you close your eyes, you start, your mind starts taking over. He says, oh no, he's meditating. he's gonna be, you know, knowing what we're doing to him so far. Okay, the moment you do that, he, you know, they're gonna come and say, hello, did you remember what you ate last night? Don't you want something to do? No, you're busy, you can't do that. Come on. You know, you can't do that. You have better things to do than sitting here silly. How am I still sitting here meditating and all these things are gonna tell you, don't do it. You know, we don't want you to do it at all. So, but if you keep continuing your eyes closed and bring your attention back to your meditation, little by little, they will give up, okay? They're gonna go and say, oh, is this silly? This is, no, it is not silly. Mantra, Aryam Shri Ham Om Nam Kevalam, Aryam. Okay, what did I eat last night? Oh yeah, I'm going away. No, Aryam Shri Ham Om Nam Kevalam. The goal of the life is to become divine, that divinity, God is everything. So we can see, little by little by little, your mind going, all right, you bring it back, go there, bring it back, you go there. Little by little, you get the strength over your mind and instead of them. Therefore, meditation, don't lie down. Yes, you will fall asleep because that's what they want you to do. They want you to fall asleep. Okay? Because when you're asleep, you're not aware of what's happening in your consciousness. They want you to fall asleep, not to, to become strong in your meditation. Therefore, don't lie down. Sit up somewhere. Don't even put your back somewhere, you know, that it is comfortable. You put your back somewhere, there's no support, so you fall asleep, you fall, and you wake up. If you're back somewhere, you're going to fall asleep, you're going to fall asleep. You know, you have a support behind you, you're not going to fall out. That is why it is recommended that you sit in the lotus pose. Of course, sitting in lotus pose is not easy. You have to have a lot of yoga exercise to get your body flexible enough to be able to sit in a lotus pose. But if you can sit in a lotus pose, nothing behind you, you will meditate, and then you will fall asleep. That's it. That is still the first step, you know. You haven't even started to follow the eternal divine path. Then you have to create an environment that it helps you to meditate more, to be more in touch with God and with your spirit, okay? And then, of course, you have to be in that community, help that community, you know, bring greater, you know, unity to that community and sacrifice the community. Of course, meditation, awakening of spirit forces are related to the mystical path, which is Hinduism, Buddhism, and all that. The Commons of Light is the Old Testament, which is Judaism and the Hebrews, and the sacrifice is Christianity. And of course, after sacrifice, you surrender and submit to God, and you could, which is Islam, and you become universalist, and you see God is everything. So, then of course you will progress in a great accelerated way, okay, that you have never thought it is possible to, but you have to do it. Okay? You have, that is the point in the meditation. You have to do it. You have to get on with it. You have to go for it. If you hesitate, it's not going to work. So, that, go to our website. I'm sure they have put the website in, you know, www.maitreya.org, and read our teaching, you know. And if you really deep into it, you will find that even atheists will see what you're saying is logical, scientific, and proven historically, scientifically, and everything, that they look at it. That God is a logical God. God is not a bunch of dogma. God is you, God is your logic, is your intellect, is your consciousness, and your force in the world. So I suggest you go to our website and study our teaching, and if you have a question, there are places we can ask your questions, send email to us, and if you want further explanation, we will do that. All right, Ram Das, sounds like you had a question. I saw your hand for one and then left. You're in. If you have a question, go ahead.
You have a question. You were speaking about creations and many creations and many universes, and also the Big Bang. I was wondering if all those creations, like those one we see with the Hubble telescope, it is not just in our mind and just not Maya. Isn't it Maya too?
Well, Maya is the delusion or illusion of separation from God. So if you're talking, they are those galaxies that Hubble telescope picks up, are they separate from God, or just looking at them is Maya? I don't understand what you mean by, are they Maya, or we pursuing them is a Maya?
Well, I would try to clarify my question. When we look at those galaxies and all those nebulas and black holes, and speaking about the Big Bang and those creations, isn't it Maya, all those material worlds? I mean, is it not just in our mind that we see it in the telescope? Is it just a projection of our mind, of our spirit?
Well, remember, this universe is not an illusion. If you're talking about this universe, is Maya, is illusion, we don't teach that. We don't say this universe is illusion. We say it's a relative truth. It is not absolute truth, but is a relative truth. It is not the essence. It is something created for us to progress. That's why a lot of people think this universe, the created universe, is the truth, is the reality, you know? And they are so delusion into it that they believe they have to have as much as they can, they have to have power, they have to, you know, gain more and more and more, and then they die in ignorance and delusion. This universe, those galaxies are not illusion, they are not Maya, but they are relative truth. But if you believe that those are the reality, but they are not a relative truth, then you have fallen to the Maya of illusion of separation from God and taking this universe as the ultimate truth. Then you are a Maya. But those things, this universe, is not Maya itself. You know, if we realize that, then we can, maybe that was your question, that if we believe that these things are truth, then we are a Maya, then you are correct. But are those galaxies Maya? No, they are not. They are a part of the creation, and they are a relative truth. They are not absolute because they are not essence. Anything is not essence is relative truth. Okay? And the only thing essence is the spirit, is the consciousness, and three gunas. Okay, I guess our time together here ends here. And we had a mini darshan here also. We've got in there. Mission, and I hope you guys stay with the mission, stay with the lectures. It's very important that come to the lecture. A lot of good information is coming.